It's midnight in Montgomery. Just hear that whippoorwill. See the stars light up the purple sky. Feel that lonesome chill.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking around on this Wednesday morning. Citra Technologies text line 251-343-0106. Still to come, about an hour from now, Joey Clark, my radio colleague up in Montgomery, News Talk 93.1. Also, Paul DeMarco, regular on this show, columnist for the Trustful Tribune. We'll get his thoughts on what he expects, especially I think in the theme of criminal justice, the arena there, reform or whatever you want to call it. He'll be with us in the 11 o'clock hour, so please stay tuned for that. But joining us now, very pleased to bring on my next guest. He represents you guys in the kind of lower third of Mobile County, but State Senator David Sessions with us. Senator, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. Good to be here. Doing well.
Hey, thank you for making time for us. We do appreciate it. Well, before we get into it, how have things been going? We know you got a lot of things going on out your way in Southwest Mobile County. How's the farming business?
Farming business, we're still in business, but you know this economy has been very, very tough. You know, the inflation is just run rampant. Expenses are just running, running through the roof. And, you know, unfortunately, our federal government at the federal level, everything they're doing is hurting small business. And makes it tough.
How is the, you and I talk about this from time to time, the labor market, does it still feel like it's pretty tight?
It is, you know, Jeff, and of course you've been out to my farm and you realize that we do a lot of produce and that's a lot of manual hand labor. And with the job market like it is, we're basically forced to use what's called an H-2A contract. And that's one place that the federal government is really hurting us on it by just throwing out a fictitious wage, forcing us to pay a high wage, and it's just unsustainable because it just increases the cost of everything that consumers have to purchase.
Well, and you'll look at it and kind of watching it. I mean, do you get a sense of any trend, or is it just wait and hope that something good happens in this next election and federal policy changes?
We're certainly hoping for a change at the federal level. A lot of states are starting to take action and file suits against, the federal government. Basically, these agencies are making rules that affect businesses, and they really shouldn't have that authority. Department of Labor will make these rules up, and then they say that it doesn't affect the economy at a certain level. There's a certain level threshold that they can use, and they'll mislead the public by saying that the threshold is not being reached when it's being blown apart. I mean, it's very misleading. What they're doing is misleading, and it's not proper. So I hope the states can prevail. I know Georgia is suing the Department of Labor, and I'm hoping Alabama will follow suit and sue the Department of Labor also.
That's one to keep an eye on. Let's move into the arena of legislative politics. The buzz right now, and maybe this is just kind of a media generated, talk radio generated thing, but it sounds like school choice and probably more than that, gambling. What are you expecting here in about a month or so?
Well, I think school choice will be on the agenda as always. You know, there, we have to improve our education, public education, and you and I have talked about this over and over. And what does that look like? That's a tough question, tough answer. But we've got to try some things. I mean, you know, I don't think we want to throw the baby out with the bathwater, but I think we have to do something in a measured way, and where we can get, you know, a true picture of what helps and what doesn't. If you shift from education to gaming, you know, a couple of years ago, the Senate passed a piece of legislation that, you know, we weren't 100% pleased with, but it would have, you know, would have regulated and controlled gaming. The House, you know, didn't agree with the Senate version. It got kind of lost in the shuffle at the end of the session. You know, is the House going to pass it? I think kind of the Senate posture is to, you know, the ball is in their court, and I know Speaker Ledbetter is something that he is interested in trying to do, but you know, we'll have to see where it goes.
And that gambling bill that passed the Senate, is it entirely possible something like that? I mean, it sounds like you've lost a lot of votes because of the last election for it, but I think you've also, you guys that were there at the time, maybe if you had the same deal on the table, you'd probably take a pass. I don't know. Do you think something like that is even feasible right now in the Senate?
I don't know. To say it is possible or isn't, you never know until the vote comes out in it. You never know until, you know, what it looks like. You know, the devil's always in the details. And my focus from my standpoint is I don't like gambling. I think it's a poor way to fund government. It adversely affects poor. At a much higher rate than it affects someone that's, you know, that has money. It's not a good way to fund government. But we have gambling already. You know what I'm saying? You're conflicted because you have gambling already. It's not regulated. It's not really controlled. So there's good arguments on both sides, for and against it. You know, my main goal would be to put a constitutional amendment out there that the people, you know, that's a good deal for the people of the state of Alabama. And, you know, don't cherry pick winners and losers. We're elected. We're seated on committees. We're an entire body of legislators. You know, I feel like the money should go to the general fund or the education fund. You know, that's it. Don't cherry pick winners and losers, and the body as a whole will decide where that money goes. Now, is that something that's passable? I don't know. You know, but like I said, it's a really difficult issue to navigate.
Do you think it's reasonable to try to put it on the November ballot, or should it stand alone? You know, there's a lot of the discussion there. If you do put it on the ballot in November, do you bring out more Democrat voters in that contentious AL2 district? There's a lot of that. But if the three-fifths threshold is met, when should it be on the ballot?
Well, you know, you do hear that argument, you know, but Jeff, you know, I'm a conservative, fiscal conservative. I'm not saying, now with that, I don't want to be penny wise and dollar foolish. But I don't feel like spending an extra $3 to $5 million on a statewide initiative would be prudent. So would it drive out more Democrats? It may drive out more Republicans too, Jeff. You know, you just don't know. So the polls show it at a really, really high rate. as people wanting to vote on it, whether they vote for it or against it, even on the Republican side. So, you know, when you get numbers like 80% of the Republicans wanting to vote on this, you know, basically they're at the same rate as the Democrats wanting to vote on it. So, you know, and like I said, I understand those arguments, but I just don't think it would be fiscally conservative to have a special election just for gaming when it could be put on the November ballot.
Joy Bice, State Senator David Sessions here on the program. Senator, and then I guess looking at what else there is, I mean, there's a bunch of smaller things. What is interesting to me, and I don't know if you have these dealings, I mean, running a business and also serving the legislature can be probably very tricky, but like the idea that we need to kind of like, I don't know if reform is the word, but at least tweak the state's ethics laws. It looks like Representative Simpson over here in Baldwin County is taking taking the charge on that. But you and I have never really talked about this, but what's your perception of sort of the ethics framework for government employees in Alabama right now?
Well, I think, you know, all legislation can have unintended consequences. And I think that's what Representative Simpson is trying to clean up, the unintended consequences. I don't think anyone's looking to be unethical. I think it's an issue to where, you know, a child gets their teacher has a very good teacher that's impactful, and they get them a $50 gift card to Ruth Chris Steakhouse or to Felix's, and that teacher accepts that, they've broken the ethics laws. I don't feel that was the intent of the legislation. So I feel like some cleanup work needs to be done on it. You know, so it's just one of those things that was passed kind of in haste, in a special. You know, Governor Bentley had won the election. Governor Riley was still in office, and Governor Riley called a special election for a special session when they passed all that. And I was not there in 10. It was 11 in a special election before I was in there. And of course, had I already been there, I probably would have voted for it also. I'm not blaming any of my colleagues. You know, I just, like I said, I think all legislation has unintended consequences. And I think that was some that just got overlooked. And I believe it's time to clean it up a little bit. You know, clarify.
Do you think, I mean, it's in the past when it's been tried, I mean, some people lost their minds, and I don't know, like, do you see it easy? I mean, I guess not easy is the right word, but do you see a path forward that you can avoid some of these pitfalls?
I hope so. I think so. I think, you know, we've got some good legislators working on that. And this, you have the Alabama Law Institute helping with this, and LSA. And you've got a bunch of good attorneys up there that are looking out for the benefit of the entire state, you know, not just one party, or it's not a partisan thing. It's, like I said, it's just some clarification and modification that needs to be done that take care of some unintended consequences that we, you know, unfortunately went into effect when we passed that, or when that law was passed.
Senator, we'll kind of wind it down on this. The last year, you guys approved the grocery tax reduction. We talked a little bit to your colleague, Senator Orr, up in North Alabama, and then Danny Garrett downstairs in the House. It has had an impact on the ETF, but, you know, you kind of both sides, kind of on the retail side of this and, you know, the policymaking side of it. What's your impression so far of this grocery tax reduction?
I think it's fine. I think, you know, anytime we can put some money back in our consumers' pockets, it's a good thing. We need to look at ways to trim some of the taxes that all our citizens have to pay day to day. I think, grocery tax is one way to do it. Everyone buys groceries. I'm hoping that, I'm pretty sure that other percent will go into effect. And I think that's certainly a good thing also. We'll see. Maybe it'll be at a point where we can do away with all the state portion of it.
Well, and it just seems like a small amount now, but I guess the goal is you gotta meet these benchmarks, and then it, a little by little, gets repealed. It seems like we'll probably get there, doesn't it?
I think so. I guess the upside inflation for government standpoint is that it puts a lot more money into the fund, general fund and education trust fund. So, their budgets are in pretty good shape. I think both budgets will have some surpluses. So I think it's time to give our taxpayers some relief.
Well, Senator, you've been very kind. I know you got a busy schedule, but we always appreciate you coming on, and we'll try to get you on again sometime during the session. But thanks for making time for us.
Thank you, Jeff.
State Senator David Sessions there here on the program. Let's get a timeout in here. We shall return. This is the Jeff Horst Show on FM Talk 106.5.